welcome to East Meets West. I'm Olga Bataman.
I'm Tara Reid.
And as you can see, I'm with my suitcase again, because St. Petersburg Economic Forum is about to start. But I couldn't leave without doing this show when there is a full-scale invasion war going on in Lebanon now.
Yes.
And of course, we'll have a guest joining us from Beirut to give you first-hand information. But before we turn to our guest, let me, as a daughter of a nuclear physicist, just touch another topic.
Sure.
That was the attack, or actually two drone attacks, on the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant that happened over the weekend. So on Sunday, the drone hit like the garage and the vehicles, the buses were destroyed. But the one on Saturday, it actually hit the machine hall of the nuclear power plant and made a hole in the building.
What does that mean for the waste and
so it,
you know,
I mean,
food?
As of now, the situation is safe on the ground, but you know, each step, with each step, Ukraine is getting one step closer to the reactor itself. And it was a fiber optic guided drone. So there is no chance that this drone was misguided. They hit exactly where they wanted to hit.
So again, this is Starlink, Planetair. This is Western technology that Ukraine is using from America and Europe.
You know what I think? I think that now Ukraine is like the dog that the West fed, but probably they're not even able to control it anymore. Because what I think stands behind this attack is, you know, they're getting, each time they attack the nuclear power plant, they get one step closer to hitting their reactor. And I guess they know that if there is an explosion, the nuclear cloud, so to say, it would cover half of Europe, going as far as Berlin or even further.
Wow.
They know it really well. Of course, Ukraine would also suffer, but I mean, they sold the country long ago. They sold the soil along with the soul.
Yeah.
They soiled they sell the resources. So, I mean, why would they care about the people? But I think this is a sign to Europeans, and I'm not sure the European leaders realize that they are being kept hostages by Ukraine, because if you if you stop helping us, you know, if you stop supporting us, we can actually get as close, and the cloud would cover you. What do you think of that?
I think that's a really interesting perspective, and I think that it's interesting that no one's really talking about that from Europe or from the U.S. side. In fact, the U.S. was virtually silent, the Western media. So really, I would take that. That makes sense, because who's going to suffer the most? Western Europe? Well, what does that mean? Zelensky's been on his knees begging for money.
Not only Western Europe. It would go as far as like the whole Europe. So
all of Europe.
Ukraine as well, but they don't care much about their own citizens. Right. So I guess they're already blackmailing European leaders and keeping them hostages.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, I think until they eliminate or remove Zelensky and get rid of the Planetair technology and the Starlink, I think these terrorist attacks are going to continue, unfortunately. So hopefully someone's going to wake up and listen.
Well, if there are some viewers that are watching us from Europe, honestly, guys, you need to bring it to your leaders that you are not controlling the dog that you've been feeding already.
We call that in the U.S., they call that wag the dog. So
right.
What's happened is wag the dog. So the U.S. used to have control. Now it's out of control. And you're right. I think that's a really, you know, a really good analysis of the situation. Well, there's a lot going on all over the world. If you want to expand a little bit about what else was going on this weekend, too.
Well, I mean, there were multiple drone attacks of Russian cities. And I mean, there was a drone that hit a bus, you know, with kids. And I mean, the kids were dying. But since our guest is already with us, let's discuss the region where there is like a full-scale war going on, yes. and the humanitarian situation is close to a catastrophe, I would say, but yeah. I think it's not being reported as much in Western media. So let's get this information firsthand from our guest we're having today. Marwa Aswan is joining us from Beirut. Marwa, it's so good to have you with us.
Yeah,
thank
Marwa.
You so much.
Marwa is an educator as well as a journalist and also an editor with Press TV. Hello, thank you so much. And a mom too. And could you give us a little bit of what's happening right now in your world today?
Are you in Beirut now, right?
Yes, I salute you, ladies, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to voice my people's word and narrative on what's going on right here in Lebanon. I am currently in the capital, Beirut. I am originally a mother of three from South Lebanon, from the village of Khiyam. Khiyam is on the border with occupied Palestine, and it's a legendary town because it has so far not been fallen in the hands of the Israeli enemy up until this moment, but they were able to detonate most of the village and bombard the rest. Now, what's happening at the moment, just minutes before I joined you on today, Monday, what happened is that we had evacuation orders from the Beirut suburbs and a decision made by the Israeli cabinet by Netanyahu himself. He actually said it himself that we have more than 50 points to bomb across the capital, Beirut, and the suburbs of Beirut. And all of that is because their ground invasion has been faltered by the resistance at multiple points. The resistance in Lebanon, Hezbollah in South Lebanon, have been able to halt the advancement of the war machinery of Zionist Israel across South Lebanon, specifically in the southern part, which is the south eastern part of the map, if you're looking at the map. And in the center of the south, also if you're looking at the map, they were trying invasion from two parts, and they were celebrating that they entered into the Shaqif citadel. It's a thousands-year-old citadel, way older than what is known as Zionist Israel. They bombed that. Imagine, they don't even have respect for cultural heritage.
It's in the World Heritage Center, It's part of the world.
Exactly, the World Heritage Center. Exactly. So they were celebrating that they reached that, but the resistance earlier at dawn on Monday hit them with the FPV drones. Those that were able to fly in at midnight, they don't need to be flown during the day. So they had to retreat from the area, and they were calling in the helicopters to move the soldiers to Rambam Hospital. Now, look what's happening. The resistance is targeting soldiers. What is Zionist Israel going to attack, and what have they been attacking? Tyre, also a city that is 8,000 years old, Sur in South Lebanon.
It's like 5,000 years old.
Also a very old. Exactly. Also a very old city, evacuating thousands of humans who have nowhere else to go because, you know, people have been displaced. We have more than 1.5 million people displaced across Lebanon. The majority are in tents right here in the capital, Beirut, right at the waterfront in Beirut. And, you know, Beirut is a beautiful city. It's on the Mediterranean. Now summer is coming in. So living in a nylon tent, the degrees would increase severely and end up in people getting hurt because of the weather as well and because of the displacement. Now they're displacing the rest who did not leave because they had no place to go, and they would refuse to live outdoors in the open because not everyone can afford to rent a house. And now, because of the war, the rentals have gone up immensely. I mean, if you can find a house before the war that you can rent for $800 per month, now it is up to $3,000 per month. And we're talking about an economy that is in shambles because of the financial crisis and because of the war. So now, today, what the Zionists decided is they want to bomb residential areas. And we heard voices like Ben-Gavir and Smotrich saying, why did you tell them? You shouldn't have given them a heads up. You should have started bombing without evacuating the people. The people, the residents. Meanwhile, the resistance is answering back at soldiers, at bases, at military positions inside Lebanon, occupied positions inside Lebanon, and inside occupied Palestine as well. At the moment, we are in a tense moment. I was telling you before we started the interview that heads up, we might have bombs falling. You might hear it along with me, and I'm in the capital, Beirut. So it could be at any place, at any time, at anyone. We've seen them do it before, especially on April 8th when they killed my best friend. He was in his office in the heart of Beirut, the capital, and he died because he was doing his job. His job was a businessman, trade. He had nothing to do with the battlefield, but they killed him along with 400 other people, kids, women, and men in their jobs or in the supermarkets or in the hospitals on that day. They will repeat that supposedly either today or tonight. We still don't know when exactly, but I'm a bit anxious because my kids are still at school, and if something happens, I know it's going to be hard to get. I tried to get them before I went on with you, but the school told me the traffic jam is crazy because of the evacuation orders, so they should stay put. It's safer at school at the moment, but given what they did to Minab in Iran, killing school kids, I'm not sure even my kids are safe. But at the end of the day, I have faith. I have full faith that whatever comes from God, I agree with it. I am at ease with it. I am at ease with it. But we are grieving. We are in a state of horrific humanitarian situation. Hospitals have been bombed. People in hospitals have died while they sought to be relieved from the injuries that they endured because of U.S.-made bombs falling on kids and families in their houses, dropped basically by Zionist Israel. And all the while, my friends, you have the Lebanese puppet government attempting what they call a negotiation, direct negotiation with the same people that are killing us, claiming that the only way to stop it is for the resistance to stop. Literally, Zionist Israel has advanced more than 35 kilometers into Lebanese territory. And we have people in the government here telling us, oh, but if you stop throwing rocks at them, they will stop bombing Beirut. Okay, who brings back my house in Khiem? Who pays for the damage twice now that they have damaged it? Once in 2024 and again now. Who pays for the shops that have been demolished, the hospitals, the schools? Who pays the reparations for the lives that have been lost? Because the innocent civilian lives that have been lost. And some people tell me this is the cost of war. No, with the technology that we have now, they know every site that they're bombing. It is near impossible for them not to know that this is a civilian house, that this is a hospital, that this is a school. Near impossible. They can see everything even beneath the ground. So that narrative or, oh, collateral damage, we don't accept that. That's unacceptable. We are not numbers. We are not names. We have dreams. We have lives. We have fathers and mothers. We are mothers ourselves. We have kids who we are supposed to be looking out for their future. And what's happening now? Pretty much like what's happening in Russia, is that we don't know if our kids will come back home. We don't know if we will ever go back home with our kids, our home in South Lebanon. We don't know if we're going to live to see tomorrow, all because there is this rabid dog that no one can control that is selling all sorts of weapons and buying all sorts of weapons and even being given all sorts of technology to keep killing people. I mean, they've been utilizing AI technology to target civilian areas. This is what they are saying. It's not me making this up. So it has become to a level of inhumane policy because no one cares. Because if they cared, because if the world actually raised its voice against the genocide that has been happening over the past 3 years in Gaza, we wouldn't have reached this point in Lebanon. But here we are.
Marwa, but may I ask you about the ultimate goal of this? Because for me, it actually looks like a mere invasion war. Like Israel is up to 40 kilometers. Israeli troops crossed the Litani River. They seized the Bofur Castle, raised the Israeli flag over it. And we know France is calling for an emergency UN Security Council meeting in this regard. So they're just going deeper into the territory of Lebanon. And can you imagine that happening in any other country where people were living, they were building their houses, and then they just come, the bulldozers, you know, destroy them, demolish them, and they order people to evacuate, but while people are evacuating, they shoot them. I mean, every day, I guess, we're having these videos, we hear those stories, when families in the car, like a mom, a mother, father, and four kids in the car were trying to evacuate, since they were ordered by Israeli troops to evacuate, and the car would be hit with a drone on a scooter. You remember a father with his kid on a scooter. I mean, it's obviously visible who's riding the scooter. The drone was attacking him and his kid. So it's happening almost every day. And I printed out a quote of Ben-Gvir for me, mm-hmm. because I was so shocked. He said, a national security minister of Israel, "I think that today everyone understands that you cannot leave Nazis on your border in Lebanon." And that's being said by Ben-Gvir. Mm-hmm. I think everyone in the world was shocked by videos how he treated the detainees of the Sumud flotilla. You remember?
In the flotilla,
He was not treating them as a human being, and he was not treating them as human beings. He was slapping them in their faces. You know, he brought them on the
sexual
knees.
Sexual assaults.
Who is a Nazi here? I mean, who is speaking about Nazis here?
And by the way, it's the man who actually wears as a badge a rope that is tied, which represents killing Palestinian prisoners and not giving them trial. Imagine this happening in Iran. I'm not going to tell you in Saudi Arabia. Or imagine this happening in Iran. It would have been a circus, a complete circus. Mm-hmm. But since it's happening in Israel, apparently Israel is allowed to do anything and everything, including a genocide in Gaza and ethnic cleansing in Lebanon, because what's happening, it's not just an invasion. It is an ethnic cleansing of the Shia population in South Lebanon, which is more than 2 million humans living in that area. And it's being done in broad daylight. And it's being done all the while you have the UN, which is now a sham. I don't know what the role of the UN is to begin with. And you have European countries that don't feel the heat. They literally don't feel the heat at a time when Zionist Israel is boasting that it has military drills with Cyprus and with Greece, meaning that in any upcoming war, whether against us here in Lebanon or against Iran or Iraq, they will use Cyprus and Greece, which makes way for a retaliation against European countries, because an attack would have been initiated from those countries. How on earth is the European Union okay with the Israelis dragging them into a war that they have nothing to do with? I don't understand. At the same time, how is it possible for the world to look at what's happening and not bat an eye? When you see, up until now, since March 2nd, we have more than 7,000 Lebanese people wounded, more than 3,000 killed in the past 3.5 months.
And not, almost 500 of them were, almost according to official statistics from the Lebanese Health Ministry,
Ministry of Health 500
of those were killed during the month when the ceasefire was in place.
Yes.
Like, I mean, this unique unilateral months. Ceasefire was in place. 500 people killed.
So I have a question.
15 months of supposed ceasefire with Zionist so-called. Israel between November 27th and March 2nd. 500 humans were killed in their houses, whether in Dahiyeh or in whether in the Beirut suburbs or in South Lebanon, with the resistance not replying even with one bullet. People were getting anxious and were asking the resistance to retaliate, but the resistance was abiding by the ceasefire and abiding by what the Lebanese government wants. And the first day, March 2nd, we see the Lebanese army, which was supposed to protect us, leaving. They left before the people evacuated. This is the Lebanese army that was supposed to take over from the resistance. And what happened in the torn, detonated, carpet-bombed villages, we saw resistance fighters emerging in Kfar Kila. When I say Kfar Kila, people open the map and look, it's right at the border. It was supposedly turned into rubble. And resistance started from there. Why? Because it's the resistance from the people, from that land. It's the same people who live there who are resisting at the moment. And by the way, people don't understand when they see advancement by Israel, they get a bit emotional and they say, oh, look, they're occupying Lebanese land. It's all gone. The south is destroyed. You know that the resistance has a problem at the moment? The problem is the number of people who want to enlist is way higher for what the battlefield actually requires. They are saturated with the number of men who are defending Lebanon. That's the problem that we have. We don't have a problem with our resistance at all. The resistance is not eliminated. How, when you eliminate the resistance, are you going to eliminate 2.5 million Shia Muslims in Lebanon? You can't do that. It will be a genocide and it will take a lot of time. As we have seen what happened, sadly, in Gaza, it will take a lot of time. But what's happening at the moment is that the Israelis are advancing way too fast and they are not able to stay put in one position. They are getting attacked the same way in what happened in Al-Bayada. Al-Bayada is on the western side of the border between Lebanon and occupied Palestine. And they stayed there for less than 25 days and then they were attacked by the resistance and they had to move back. And that flag that they raised, that was taken down. I tell you, the same flag that was raised on that citadel will be taken down because as Zionist Israel expands, it's becoming weaker because they don't know where the resistance is. The resistance is fighting a guerrilla war. So the way that they come out, attack, and then get back into their hiding places, it's very hard for the Israelis to pinpoint where they are. And you could read from the Israeli newspapers and from the Israeli army radio, which gives you the truth of what's going on the ground, unlike what the politicians are saying. They tell you that the number of soldiers that are returning either half killed or completely dead from South Lebanon is a very high number, and their families are raising their voices. The settlers, the colonial settlers who live in the northern part, in the northern settlements of occupied Palestine, they have left, they have evacuated. They are not going to schools because they feel the heat of the retaliation, and they're saying what's happening is not for the benefit of us. And we tell them, raise your voices more. Tell your lying politicians to stop the invasion and stop the aggression against Lebanon, and therefore the resistance will stop. How would you ask, how are you going to ask me when my house is under fire to stop putting it out with water? And if I stop putting it out with water, you promise me to stop burning it? It's illogical. It's nonsensical. It's not going to happen. We are not going back to the 15 months of the so-called ceasefire where we cease and Israel fires. We're not going to accept that. But at the same time, we do accept that they have an advanced war machinery. We do accept that they have, it's a war of attrition. They have an upper hand when it comes to technology. But on the ground, they have never won against Lebanon. Whether in 1982, in 1993, 96, 2000, 2006, and now, every time they try to settle in, they get attacked by the resistance. So this will only be repeated unless we have a viable solution. And that solution would begin by go back to that border, leave Lebanese territories. You're not allowed to occupy Lebanese territories. I'm not going to accept for anyone to take my house. I'm not going to accept. I have paid blood and effort with my husband to buy the land and to build my house over the past 10 years. Imagine how many people had to, what they had to go through in order to secure a house, a roof on top of their children's heads in order to have a somewhat humanitarian life. I'm not going to sit and watch them take my house, calling Lebanon a new settlement for Israel. I'm sorry, I'm not going to accept that. I have to secure the future of my children, just like any other family in Texas or in Stuttgart or in, Brighton. I have the right to live a peaceful life with my kids, in my community, on my land, in the house that I built stone by stone, which Zionist Israel bombed the first time in 2024, and I rebuilt in 2025, and I paid all my, no one gave me $1, not the government, not the resistance, and I'm not gonna ask anyone to do it because it's my land. I will rebuild it anyhow. This time, I promise you, when they leave, I will take a tent, I will put a tent on my land and start rebuilding. We will never leave our lands. They have to accept that. Until they accept that, the resistance will not stop.
I have a question for you. Over the weekend, you're very familiar with American politics and Donald Trump's partnership right now with Netanyahu and basically doing his bidding, whether he's being coerced or whether he's doing it willingly. Unfortunately, there's been a movement in the U.S. Because of the monetary issue. Israel's been able to get quite a stronghold in the U.S. Congress and U.S. Senate monetarily, economically. So there's a new bill this week that's going to be voted on. It's the U.S. defense bill. It has to do with funding and things like that. And one of the things that's happening in section, I believe it was 2025, they are trying to merge the U.S. military with IDF, with Israeli military. So they're taking Israel from like where we used to give aid, U.S. used to give aid, to now being a partner, actually. So could you please tell me what your thoughts are? It's unclear how it will pass in the Senate, but right now they have the majority. It could pass. They kind of buried it in this. This was a 1,000-page bill, and it kind of got buried, but it's being brought forward because those people that voted for Donald Trump, both America First and you know, whoever else, even on the left, are really shouting the alarm. Since when did the U.S. converge their military with a foreign country? And this is really shocking. It's actually against the Constitution, really. So what are your thoughts about what this means for Lebanon and what this means for the Israel's plan of the wider, you know, the wider Israel region plan?
Yeah. And mind you, at the same time, if the resistance receives any kind of help from any friends of hers, we are basically just marked as terrorists. It's not like it's our land and they're coming from overseas to control us and colonize us. But it's pretty sad to see this happening in the United States of America because I'm a Lebanese Southerner. I have a problem with the American government. I do not have a problem with the American citizens, with the society in America. On the contrary, I have hundreds of friends from America who understand where I come from. But it's very sad to see hardworking American families unable to bring health insurance for their own children. And all the while, you see them merging the budget, the military budget with Israel, meaning that the American citizen has to pay from their tax money to provide top-notch weaponry for Zionist Israel to kill more civilians, more natives in their region of West Asia, only because they can, only because they were able to manipulate the legislative power in the United States of America and to put in place puppets that they effectively hold because of AIPAC, because how not only because they pay them, but also because they basically manipulate them and have certain information against them that would inflict real damage, whether on their reputation or on their career, which obliges those representatives to vote for Zionist Israel and nothing against Zionist Israel.
So you're saying compromised members of Congress and a compromised president,
yes,
like the Epstein files.
And all that is being fed to the American public as a reality. It's being fed as a necessity while the Americans are unable to buy eggs. They are unable to find health insurance. If something happens, they're afraid to call an ambulance because they have to pay $2,000 for an ambulance.
No, it's more like
$50,000. Right, oh my God. My God.
It's like
all the while, right here in Lebanon, we have a financial crisis. We are in a state of war. We currently have an invasion. And if I call the ambulance, it's for free.
Yeah, here
so
as
people
well, in
can
Russia's
imagine also. What this means, what this means for them. Now, for what does that mean for Lebanon and the wider region? It only means that what we have been witnessing since 1936 up until today will only be on a wider scale. Meaning, we have always been bombed, whether by British-made bombs, European-made bombs, or American-made bombs, and lately by American-made bombs paid by the Gulf GCC countries, paid by Arab Muslims, because they are also puppets in the hands of the colonial powers of this world. So we have been killed with those types of weaponry that are paid for by Western citizens from their taxpayers' money without them actually agreeing to do that. But now it's going to be on a larger scale with the use of AI, with the use of top-notch weaponry, with the use of weaponry that they are actually testing on us. If you don't believe what I'm saying, you can go and watch the phosphorus bombs that they are dropping, and they have been dropping on beautiful mountain ranges in Lebanon. killing the ecosystem. It's an ecocide for what it is. And you can see what happened in 2015, the mountain of Fajatan in Yemen, and how they were dropping tactical nukes on Yemeni mountains. And don't believe me. Go and see what happened when a group of scientists in Europe and the US tried to publish their paper about that specific weapon with all the information that they have. What kind of retaliation, what kind of judicial retaliation was put in their faces, and what happened to the area where that bomb fell? It was unbelievable. You need to watch the videos, but you might not be able to search for it in English language. You have to translate it into Arabic, and then you find it, because this is how Google works. They just take away anything that you can find in English, so you won't have your eyes wide open as to what they are doing, how they are testing these weapons against the people. Added to that, the weapons that were tested on the people in Gaza, who are in tents, living in tents. They have nowhere else to go, the kind of weaponry that was used against them as well. So what that means is a wider range of wars. It would be very risky, not only for us right here in Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, or Iran, but also Turkey. And when I say Turkey, I mean it. Go ahead and read about what Greece and Cyprus mean for Turkey when they have military drills with joint military drills with the Israeli entity, and what that means for the wider region, because Turkey is part of Europe, whether it is part of the European Union or not, it is part of NATO. So what will happen when Turkey gets attacked? Will NATO defend it, or will they just drop it like a hot potato, like they usually do, and go ahead and stand with Zionist Israel? What will happen also to the settlers inside of occupied Palestine, the Israeli settlers? Because they were the ones to pay the price when the bombs were falling from the IRGC and from Lebanon. Why? Why are they running into shelters? Because of the policies of Netanyahu. That man stood in the UNSC way before October 7, showed the world a map called Greater Israel, and said, mm-hmm. This is what we are going to do. He has been planning for this ever since he came to the political podium, if you will, in 1995. And you can watch his videos from that era, before Absolutely. He even became a prime minister. That man has been preparing for this, and he believes he's now the king of Israel, and he wants to take over that land. Well, not on our watch.
But I really cannot get how can they sell it to American public? Because if you just, you know, rise above that and look at a broader picture, how does it sound? It's Israel and the United States are hitting Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Because of Hezbollah supporting Iran, that, as they claim, are getting closer to the nuclear weapons. While Israel has nuclear weapons, it's not signatory to any nuclear non-proliferation treaty, never signed it, no inspections, IAEA inspections whatsoever, mm-hmm. while in Iran, I think every gram was counted by IAEA inspectors. So.
You know, I wanted, Mara, I wanted you to...
These questions are an anti-Semitic questions. That's what we are given.
Oh, sorry.
We are given the narrative that if you ask those questions, you are anti-Semitic.
Yeah. I wanted to add to this, too, about in America, you were asking the questions about Americans. There's a lot of what they call Christian Zionists, which is an oxymoron, because you see Israel literally destroying Christian sites, killing Christians in Lebanon, in Iran, literally destroying the places where Jesus walked, And so can you talk a little bit about just the brainwashing of the American Christians to think that if they say anything, it's anti-Semitic. Could you expand on that?
It's not surprising, because even in Lebanon here, we have Christian Zionists. It's a minority. It's like 10% of the population, but they are brainwashed to a point of no return. And we understand that, but we don't give them the time of day, because honestly, they can't do anything. But in the United States of America, we're talking about evangelicals who make up more than 53% of the American society, and they make a huge portion of the electoral society, or the electoral weight inside of the United States of America. And these people are Christian Zionists from birth. It means they go to church, and the first thing that they learn in church is that Israel is more important than you and your kids. and your food and your education and your healthcare. This is what they are taught. Don't listen to me. Go watch their sermons. It's fine.
No, I mean, I was in school in the U.S. I was taught the same thing. We were taught from elementary school that Israel is more important. Yeah, it was drilled
exactly
into us.
And mm-hmm. when they're taught that, and what they are taught, because with ideology, it's sometimes when you have an ideology, it means you have a basis that is solid and it's hard to penetrate. You know, it's hard to infiltrate. But when you have the wrong people feeding ideology, it becomes a very scary power, you know? Mm-hmm. When you tell the people that even though Israel is killing kids, it's fine because only then will the rapture happen. And then they start talking yeah. about what the rapture means yes. for the evangelicals, for the Christian society mm-hmm. in America. And by the way, we don't have that. I mean, we are the cradle of Christianity in the mm-hmm. world. We've never heard about that until evangelicals came with, I didn't even hear about that until I was watching a movie about 4 years ago, and I had to go and research what the rapture means, because it sounded to me like, no, this must be a joke. And then it's not a joke, mm-hmm. and it's millions of people who believe in it, and they believe that the only way that this would happen is that if Israel starts war, kills people, and then collapses, and then Jesus Christ will come. Well, let me tell you about my ideology. Me as a Muslim woman, yeah. as a Muslim Shia woman, my ideology is that at the end of times, there will come a man called Imam Mahdi, who's the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, and he's not going to come alone. He's going to come with Jesus Christ, with Christ, to save the people. Jesus Christ is my savior. If I don't believe in that, I am not a Muslim woman. Right. And this is what they don't mm-hmm. teach the Americans in their schools. They don't teach them mm-hmm. that the Islam is an extension of Christianity. They right. don't tell them that. They mm-hmm. tell them that Islam is against Christianity. Islam doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. Islam. Mm-hmm. If we don't believe in Jesus Christ, we're not Muslims. If we don't believe that at the end of times, Jesus Christ will come back, we are not Muslims. Mm-hmm. Ask any Muslim, not only Shia, ask any Muslim that. And that is the reality of what our ideology is. I will defend my Christian neighbor, my Christian Arab neighbor, the same way that I would defend my own kids, because one, we are in the same boat. Two, we have the same God that we worship. Three, even if we are not monotheistic, if we don't believe in a God, we believe in humanity. I'm not right. going to allow a tiny kid to be buried alive because Zionist mm-hmm. Israel has a plan to take more land. I'm not going to be silent about that. And I'm going to keep telling the truth, which is why Zionist Americans or Zionist Christians in America should understand something very important. Anything that has to do with evil doing is not acceptable by God. Jesus Christ will not accept it. If he comes right now, the first people that he will fight against is the mm-hmm. Israelis, because they're yeah. killing everyone. Kids, priests, nuns. I'm pretty sure you saw the nun that was kicked from yeah, behind and basically just beaten up in the streets of Jerusalem. How on earth is that acceptable by the Bible and by Jesus Christ? I'm not going to believe that. I'm never going to believe that. You have to read. Read. Don't allow anyone to tell you anything. Even if you want to listen to me, take my words and then go do your own research. Don't believe me. Go do your own research. We live at a time where information is available for anyone. If you have a mosque in your neighborhood, go knock on that door and ask questions. No one's going to bite you. Honestly, if you don't believe anyone, go grab from your library or you go buy your Quran and read it and tell me where it says that we are supposed to kill one another. Tell me, pinpoint it to me. If you're afraid of me because I look like this, how on earth do you go to Sunday Mass and look at Virgin Mary and pray to her? I look like her more than you look like her. Look in the mirror. If you're an American Zionist, Christian Zionist, look in the mirror. I actually look more like her than you will ever look like her, which means she is my role model. If she is my role model, how are you accepting the fact of discrimination, of Islamophobia, of basically just being a racist against me only because you don't like the fact that I don't show my hair? Honey, if I show my hair, you're not going to be able to stand it. That's just a joke. Yeah. But what I mean is I'm trying to be as approachable as possible because mm-hmm. we are humans. We have the same interests. our interest is to live in peace, is to watch our kids grow. And you have no idea how many of my friends will not be able to watch their kids grow. Mm. How those tiny bodies, how heavy those tiny bodies were when we had to hold them and bury them. Why? Why is it okay for me to die and you, if you live in Baltimore or in Chicago, it's for you, life is waking up in the morning, having your coffee or your pumpkin latte, whatever it is, and then taking your kid to elementary school, and then him having a really, or her having a really nice time in safety, and then coming back home. Why? Is your child more important than mine? It's not. All children are important equally in the eyes of God if you are a believer. If you're not a believer, all children are equal because you are humans. It doesn't matter where you are, where you come from. So if you don't get yourself interested in how your tax money is killing me and how your ideology is allowing Israel to continue killing me, then by God, don't get mad because now your fuel, your gas is up to $5 or $6. Oh, please, because what it means for you is gas up. What it means for me is more coffins and more graves to actually dig.
Marva, thank you so much for your courage. It's terrifying even to hear that. But we have viewers in the United States as well. I know that politicians don't care about like ordinary people, but we're trying to make this voice louder.
I'm so glad that you said what you did. This isn't just about racism or religion. It's about economics. It's about everything. But what you said is so poignant about our children. We're watching children die daily in these different wars right now, to the point where it's become fodder. It's become like desensitizing. So for those watching, how can they follow you and follow your work and support you and ask questions directly to you? How can they do that?
They can do that by following me on X, on Twitter, at Marwa_Osman. I did have a YouTube channel. YouTube didn't like what I was saying, so they banned me from going back to YouTube. Okay.
But quite
so
expectedly.
I have my Twitter account and I have my Telegram channel as well. It's also Marwa_Osman_TheMiniStream, which is my show. They can also watch my show on Press TV. They can find Press TV online. My show is a political show about the region of West Asia every week. Actually, this morning I was shooting a new show about what's happening in Lebanon. They can follow that as well. But basically, I'm always on Twitter until they decide I no longer have the right to exist even there. But at the moment, I'm there and I am updating about what's happening in Lebanon. And they can also follow the articles that I usually publish. I publish on multiple places, sometimes RT, sometimes UK column, sometimes Press TV. It depends when I have some time. We're now at the end of the semester, so I have a lot of research papers to collect and correct for my students. So usually when it's between semesters, I write a lot as well. And I publish also research papers. You can find them online, my research papers, and they're usually about either politics or about media, since I'm a PhD in media management. So there is where people can find me. They can ask me directly on Twitter any question, and I always answer. And I'm available on mostly broadcasts like these one, like podcasts, like they can also follow through on that. And I thank you again, ladies, for allowing me to be on your platform and to tell my side of the story, because there is always a side from the natives on the ground that tells a very different story than what you read in headlines on mainstream media.
Your story is firsthand. Yeah. It's information firsthand that viewers need to know. Because, you know, now we all end up, you know, with brief messages on Telegram about an attack, but there are lives and kids and families
and dreams
and houses and dreams and like life behind that. That it's not being covered.
Please be safe, my friend. And you know what? I follow your work. I admire you. You're so incredibly brave. I don't think people really understand, like, even as we were starting the show, there might have been bombs right outside and you're worried about your children. I hope your children are safe. Hold them close tonight. I'll be praying for you.
I will. I will. Thank you. Thank you. And I for you both. And I hope someday we might have a sit down like this and we'll be talking about peace, inshallah.
Thank you, Marwa. And to our viewers, I mean, maybe you just come home and hug your kids as well, because you never know, it seems, when walk and enter into the house. So take care of your kids.
Please support independent media. Right now we're being shut down a lot of times. A lot of us that are lifting this narrative, because it's a narrative that America doesn't want you to see, are the American elite. And so follow us on Twitter, follow Mara, follow our guests, ask them questions directly, or go through us if you wish, and we'll ask the questions. But we'll be here next week for you with another interesting story. And safe travels to you, Olga.
Thank you. We'll try to post some videos if I have time from St. Pete to show you. But it's the most hectic, the busiest event of the year, so I don't promise it, but I will try to. Okay, see you next week. Take care. Hug your kids.